And welcome to our monthly Vibrations of the Soul Ascension class. Today is August 18th of 2019. Hello everyone, my name is Terry, and I thank you for taking the time and interest in our Ascension class and the information that is presented. Our classes are offered through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com, as a resource for personal learning, healing, and a goal to better understand spiritual awakening and the planetary ascension cycle that is currently underway. Clearly, we are in times of great change impacting our relationships we have with ourselves, with others, and our planet. The issue is many people do not have a context for what is occurring as this frequency shift is affecting everything. These can be challenging times resulting in confusion, sadness, feelings of disconnection, and loneliness. When we talk about ascension or spiritual awakening, we can experience this as a multidimensional shift within our consciousness into higher states of self-awareness. This perceptual shift can include increased awareness of energy in our environment, sensing extra-dimensional entities, and feeling the interconnected energy between all things. Some of us are actively participating with this cycle of change consciously, while others are just becoming aware that something is very different, as their day-to-day observations and interactions with the world just no longer make sense. It is time to open our eyes, to look around, and to be honest about what we see as the global reflection, and then look deep within our own lives. Keeping people fixated on meaningless dramas, deceptive narratives, debt slavery, divide and conquer strategies, fear and survival is the name of the game. Through our classes, we offer an opportunity to learn from many others who are walking through this ascension cycle with a conscious participation, and as they offer to share their direct and personal experiences with us through a dialogue and exchange on various subjects. I ask you to keep an open mind, being receptive to new ideas, to knowledge, and being adaptable to change. When we're open-minded, we know that others should be free to express their views, and that the value of others' knowledge should be recognized. Keeping an open and flexible mind is important to keeping one's heart open. Always remember, an open mind equals an open heart. In opening our field of intention here today, we command this space as sovereign and free within the living light, the law of one, through our crystal star guardian teams and aurora hosts, in which we are learning to take complete ownership of our personal energies through unity consciousness, compassionate witnessing, loving self and others, loving the earth and nature, responsible co-creation, and consciousness expansion. Well, today I have a very wonderful, amazing, beautiful guest here with me, and her name is Connie. And so, Connie, I thank you for being here today. I really appreciate you wanting to open and share, you know, your spiritual journey. So, again, I know that this is going to help a lot of people who will be able to listen to this and learn. So, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me here, Terry. This is really awesome for me because I love you. And, of course, I love talking about all things ascension. You asked me to tell your audience a little bit about myself. My name is Connie. I am a native North Carolinian, and I'm 48 years old. I am twice divorced. And the other thing I would tell you about myself is that I am an empath, as you know, and I'm a very avid animal lover.
Yeah, that's for sure. And knowing you and watching you interact with the animals is so beautiful. When you came in today, my little dog gave you kisses.
Love abs. It's always wonderful to see her, to see that she's doing well.
It's beautiful. And I think that for being here together today, we've talked about this for a while to try to, you know, pull this together. So again, I just really appreciate it. Maybe, why don't we start with maybe talking about how long we've known each other or how we met and whatever else you want to add there.
Yep, I thought about this today. So I met you in 2013. And at the time, 2013 is when I first started waking up. My life was being completely dismantled. I was going through a divorce. And I came into the doctor's office that you were working for. I was a sales rep, and I called on the office and met you and thought, oh, wow, she's really neat and lovely and beautiful. And I was just drawn to you, as most people are. But I think it was early 2014 before I came back in and we really made a connection that time around.
Yeah, so about a year.
Yep, about a year. And since then, we've been friends. I will tell your audience that I credit you as being my first ascension guide that I look up to every day. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and thank you. And likewise, I feel the same, because I always say, you know, there's no value difference, right, in terms of the role we hold. We're all teachers. We're all students.
Absolutely.
And we get to learn from each other. And I think that's the thing that I love most about this work, is I get to learn every day more about myself through those that I work with. So thank you too, Connie. So anything else you want to share about meeting or anything else that comes to your mind? I remember something.
You share and I'll jump in then.
I just remember your fun personality and your blue eyes, you know, were sparkling. And I just thought, oh my God, this person is just such a beautiful, gentle, loving soul, you know. And
and how amazing you could see that, because I was in such excruciating pain at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think as empaths and starseeds, sometimes we're really good at that, you know.
For sure.
And just,
you know,
push it to the side and function. I've always been very high functioning, so I could always kind of pass and not let that pain dominate.
I'm really glad in 2013 you walked into the office. It's amazing how many people I meet or have met through that.
It's a vortex, that office. So many people coming in there, for sure.
It really is. Well, how about maybe we can talk a little bit more, as much as you want to share, because our theme is ascension and awakening and moving through those things that we experience in our life as we're walking upon this path, to give a better understanding to others of what this means. It's not a magical waving of a magic wand.
Nope.
That just, it's about hard work and doing inner work, piece by piece, step by step. So perhaps you can share some thoughts about what ascension and what awakening means to you.
Okay, sure. So I think for me, through my own experiences, what is ascension? What is awakening? To me, awakening is about waking up to the truth of who we are, the truth of who we are as divine beings. It's about ascending our consciousness, ascending to reclaim our memories, remembering who we are, reclaiming our consciousness, because we are in a war over consciousness on this planet at this time. It's about reclaiming our sovereignty. And you cannot do those things unless you begin to break through the veil of illusion that we live in on this planet at this time. And it's a very thick wall of deception, because, you know, we live in inverted systems and nothing is as it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. It's challenging, isn't it? Because as you start to awaken, you start to see the inversions, and you're having higher awareness and higher other levels of experience and knowledge or information, or the ability to perceive and poke holes through this net, through this deception. And it's very hard sometimes to engage or interact or even communicate with others at times, you know? But then again, that's where we go to our heart, right?
The heart is what saves you, you know, because if you stay in your mental body for too long, yes, when I started waking up and looking at the truth of well, what is the truth? Well, who really knows? But sometimes we can get to the truth by figuring out what it's not, right?
Right.
And so looking around, it becomes very overwhelming, you know, especially for people who don't have any type of tools or resources. And the only thing that can save you is to go into your heart and to try to connect to your God spirit, for me,
right,
personally.
Right.
Get out of your head and get back into your heart. Because in your heart, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the love. That's the God spirit, is in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, the mind can be manipulated and can play a lot of tricks on us.
Yeah, as we always say, not all thoughts are our own.
That's correct. Don't we know that?
Don't we know that? Yeah, we're those.
But most people walking around think that all of their thoughts are their own, that they're organic and they're coming from within them.
Right. And it's interesting to see how we're impulsed by them, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share about that?
What else do I want to share about that? Well, I mean, I think that takes us into the next thing that you wanted to discuss here about patterns and programs, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to go because, oh my goodness, we have a lot to say about patterns and
programs. We have so much to say about this, don't we?
We do. So, you know, and you and I talk a lot, Connie, so... And we talk about, because there's many others talking about ascension and about awakening, and a lot of what is out there...
It's glitz and glam.
Yeah, it kind of glosses over the fact that there's deep inner work that's really required to go throughout this process, right?
Right.
And, I mean, we are learning that in order to participate with, and I say this organic process, right? Because of embodying these higher frequencies or this higher knowledge, it was always our divine birthright.
That's right.
We must be willing, really, to look at our thoughts, our beliefs, our behaviors, the responses to our own actions, and what is our intent behind all of it?
Right.
Are we self-serving? Are we service to others? Are we loving? Are we kind? Well, I think, you know, also through this cycle, we have an opportunity and we are learning, like you said, right, to become more loving and more heart-based.
Absolutely. That's what we're here to do. I think...
With boundaries.
With boundaries, of course. Always speaking your truth and moving in harmlessness, but with boundaries, you know, because we're also warriors.
Yeah.
We didn't come here to play around.
Right.
We came here to get some stuff done,
right.
And that takes hard work. And I think that, you know, when a lot of people get caught up in ascension this and ascension that, and we're just, I don't know what people think, we're going to wake up in a dream state and be in this higher place. And for me, I don't feel that that's accurate.
Right.
For me, the truth has been doing the hard inner work myself, and it is hard. But it's the most fulfilling work you'll ever do.
It is.
And, you know, we talk about this, we laugh, but,
yeah.
But you know, what else is there? Because right. when you wake up and you realize that everything's pretty much an illusion.
Right.
Except for the love that you carry in your heart.
That's beautiful.
You know, then what do? Then that love's so important, and how do you put that love out there? How do you manifest more love?
Yeah.
In the material.
That's right. You know, that's well said, Connie, really well said, because, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, through this heart-based resonance, becoming more loving, this ascension cycle, this increased vibrational frequency that we're trying to embody, it comes really in the understanding that through that expression of love that we're freeing ourselves. We're doing the work. We're freeing ourselves from patterns and programs of behavior that actually have created within ourselves mm-hmm. not feeling free, not feeling content,
not feeling loved.
Loved. Not feeling peace inside. You know, most people don't even know what loving themselves mean. What does that mean to love yourself? Right? You know, there's been a lot of programs.
I'm still learning.
Right.
I'm still learning how to love myself, right?
Always. Ongoing. Unfolding every step, every day we get to learn more, and aren't we blessed to be
yes.
able to have these experiences and the richness of looking at the pain and moving through the patterns and programs to heal and release so we can embody more of these soul light,
yes.
God source, the living light, right, through this ascension cycle. Well, I know that, you know, I remember starting out, I'd be like, what trauma? I don't have trauma.
I'm fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
My life's great.
Right. And, you know, these patterns, these programs, they come from traumas, from pain, from unhealed wounds, obsolete belief systems, wrong conclusions,
thought forms that are not our own, the frequency and mind control that takes place on the planet, the perception, deception of the nature of reality and who we really are. I mean, these things can come from our current life experiences, because it is, it's a crazy planet. It's very challenging to be here. It's the brave hearts, the brave souls who come to sift through this and do this work. But they can come from past lives, multiple cosmic time cycles. And of course, like we said, it doesn't help that we're living with a complete perception, deception about the nature of the magnificence of who we are.
Who we are.
As a divine, multidimensional
being.
Yeah. Right. And the superpower is love.
The superpower is love.
That's it. That's right. That's right. So maybe you can talk about some of your own patterns and programs.
Sure. I think, you know, when we talked about me doing this interview with you, I know one of the things that we were going to focus on are my relationships, because I think I have a story to tell your women audience that a lot of our fellow sisters are going through that we can relate and share as women.
Yeah.
And this is some pretty dark, heavy material. And I think to lighten it up, you know, we like to talk about archetypes, you know, because we live in a world of archetypes, and
right.
we can credit our star sister, Lisa Renee at Energetic
yeah.
Synthesis, for giving us many of these archetypes to discuss. And,
yeah.
and maybe they'll find those helpful. So, you know, when I look at my life, my patterns and my programs, you know, if we talk about my romantic relationships with men, we'll start there. So a little history about myself is I was married the first time right out of college. I thought that that would be a good idea, to get married and put my first husband through law school. And that marriage lasted about 4.5 years. And then I got married in my early 30s, and I had a long-term relationship with my second husband that the marriage was about 10 years, but all in all, it was about, 15 years. We divorced in 2017, finally, after a 4-year separation. And then after that, I was in a long-term relationship about 1.5 years. With a man from my childhood, actually. He popped back into my life, and he was someone that I had gone to elementary school with. And so to back up, just to set that stage, you know, when we talk about archetypes, I would say what all these men had in common is what we refer to as the masculine wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a part to play in that.
Right.
But if we look at what programs I was running, well, geez, where do we start? You know, we can start with a Disney code of getting married right out of college. You know, I need to get married. I think a lot of women feel this, and you know, that are our age, maybe a little younger.
The knight in shining armor.
Knight in shining armor, get married,
yeah.
have 2 kids and a white picket
right.
fence and all of that. You know, just believing that pursuing that was going to make me happy. I'm pausing here because I'm trying to think.
Right. Thinking that'll make you happy.
Yeah, thinking that will make you happy, and just being on that that treadmill of, you know, if it's the next job, if it's the next car, if it's the next material thing.
The program.
That's the program.
The expected norm of
yes.
what we do here
yes.
on planet Earth.
Yes.
How
yes.
we follow the dots that are set up for us.
It just yes.
really, these are the milestones, and everybody kind
of do it, and it should be
it.
Great. Like, what's wrong?
Right.
You know, you just got them through law school. You're getting ready to make money. Why aren't you happy? That sort of thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so with these archetypes, you know, at some point I had to stop looking. It was really after this last relationship with this last man that I was involved in that I stopped looking at what they were doing. And I started looking at what I was doing.
Boy, I'll tell you, Connie, right there, isn't that just... Oh, that is huge, making that
yeah.
change, right? Because it's very easy to look at another and to say...
And it's important, right? It's important to understand what they were doing. But it's more important to understand what you were doing.
That's right.
And what you were doing there. What did I learn?
That's right.
What did I fail at?
Well, what do you think, you know, because I've known you as you were coming out of your second marriage, mm-hmm. And I was with you all through this, the last relationship here, after your marriage. But what do you think... Were you different people in each of these relationships?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we're constantly growing and changing, you know. So the person, the Connie that got married at 22, God love her, was certainly not the same person at 28 or 32. Mm-hmm. And the Connie that started waking up in 2013 was certainly not the same person in 2017.
And actually... because as you were dismantling when I met you, and you knew you were going to be making some changes with that marriage, the ascension information started to come in, and certain tools started to come into your life and awareness to, I think, also help give you a platform and a basis to be able to navigate that process of moving forward, too, don't you think?
Yes. We did not have children, so for a lot of your viewers that do have children, God bless you, because I understand that that creates another set of, concerns and issues that you have to be concerned in.
Absolutely.
But when I left, I knew I had to leave, and it was literally overnight. I mean, I left my home, and I was in an apartment a few days later. And I think my soul knew when I left that it was over. Mm-hmm. But there was a part of me that wanted to give him a chance. I wanted to really see if there was an opportunity for him to wake up. Once I started waking up, there was really no real going back, because I couldn't stop the part of me that was waking up, the organic self that was trying to connect to God within and to find God in a different way. There was no going back.
Right.
And
that's hard.
That's really hard.
That's really hard, because I remember, I know I can feel, as we're talking about this too, and I have flashes of you as we're sitting here, how sad you were and how hard that was, because you struggled. I mean, there's a very nice person that you are no longer with.
Yeah, beautiful heart.
Absolutely.
Beautiful human being.
But yet, I think a lot of people, when we talk about ascension or awakening, sometimes the changes are profound enough inside, right, that the old really just doesn't serve you in the same way anymore, and you really can see that the path or the timeline is coming to a close. And how do you accept that? How do you walk through that? Because I think a lot of people stay a lot longer in relationships, whether they're awakening spiritually or not.
Sure.
You know, for various reasons, financial, the children. And so, Connie, this is really, where I feel in my heart, just again, because I love you and I watched you walk through that really hard change. And you did it, and you were brave, and not easy.
It was not easy. It was not.
Because there was still love.
There was still love. Mm-hmm. We did not play out a lot of the typical victimizer programming, even when I had family that was, and friends who loved me, but because of their own programs, they're trying to tell me to behave in this way, and my heart would not let me do it. I would say... that unfortunately the marriage had to come to an end because we couldn't grow anymore together.
Yeah, absolutely.
He couldn't hold any more space for me. There was nothing he could do for me. I needed to grow. I needed to do this. And the things that I was talking about, the things I was experiencing, he was not. And that was very probably frightening for him.
Right, because at that point, having a reality kind of, because you really did go through...
A reality shift.
Yes. And because when we're talking, about the matrix, and we're talking about the perception deception, and we're talking about awakening up from what? Well, you just pick a subject, okay? You can just look at the controlling pillars on the planet, the media, the legal, the medical, the financial world, you know, all the just in terms of how women are portrayed.
Yes.
And the male, the female wounding and the masculine yes. wounding, the femme fatale, and there's a whole lot of programming that's going
so
on here.
So much.
And what Connie did, and this is what is, again, which... You know, I've never been married. I wasn't brave enough to do. I wasn't brave enough to do it.
Oh, you just didn't have the right program installed, Terry.
That's right. I wasn't brave enough to do it. There's hope, though. You know, you never know. But that's where, you know, to acknowledge you for for what you're doing and for what you have done, because clearly what we're going to talk about next in terms of the next relationship, you really look at. Awakening, your whole reality changes, and it's not that the reality and the shift in consciousness moved you away from your marriage. It helped you to make the change to move through it, because you were already dismantling
that.
And
that's
I think that's an important delineation and distinction, right?
Sure.
But understanding how that came into your life, the awareness and the new information.
I think there's just so much fear around,
yeah.
you know, around money. Will I be okay? Can I take care of myself? What about this? What about that? And I mean, I suppose it was just my higher self. It was my soul guiding me that it's
yeah.
like, you just have to go and you have to trust in God. You have to trust that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And everything has been okay.
Yeah.
Everything is always okay.
Everything
really.
Is always okay. You
know.
Might go through some ups and downs
sure.
and bumps and bruises. But you have to be strong enough, right, and fearless enough to go through them, and
through
that's
this.
You.
Yep.
If there's one word that would well, there's two words, because there's never just one. You can't describe you in just one word. It would have to be many. And I would say fearless, incredibly so, and loving, incredibly so.
Thank you, Terry.
That I mean that.
Lot.
And it
I'll take both of those. I wear that. I would accept that with I guess pride. I don't
yeah.
know, because
and you know what else? You know what else? There's another word, is honesty. Because the one thing that you do is you may walk one way or the other, or you may, I say, shifting timelines. We may go from A to Z and back to B and then to F and then to C and then back down to Z, but the way you move, you zigzag, right? You move, and you always come back to center. You always come back to you. You always come back to your heart, to that loving self, and that is your strength, because I've watched you pull yourself up out of situations and things that I think most people, you know, would probably not be able to move through. And that's a testament to your soul, your spirit, who you are as a starseed warrior, okay?
Right.
And to, I think, all the spiritual work you've done for your whole life. You've been processing and doing
in a different way. You know, we were all were before we were waking up, we were doing our work in a different way.
Yeah.
We didn't know it.
Right. Absolutely.
I know it now. I understand it now. Yeah.
Right.
But definitely, and thank you. And that is that's great. That's great to be recognized in that way. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I love sitting here with you right now. My heart feels so happy and joyful. Well, let's go to a subject that might not be so happy and joyful, but you know, we were actually, you know, we were talking about, I guess, your marriage, but perhaps you want to go into your...
My last relationship?
Yeah.
So I would say out of, you know, just respect and privacy for that individual, we'll just refer to him by the initial B.
Yeah.
And B came into my life as I was, I had been separated for 3 years from my second husband, and he came into my life as a friend seeking counsel regarding his own his own turmoil in his life at the time, which was interesting. He showed up, interestingly enough, on my couch on Christmas Day of 2016. And this was a man that I had gone to elementary school with, and I think he had connected to me when Facebook was out and about in 2007 maybe. And we had remained friends. He had been married 3 times. This was, and divorced, of course. This was his second long-term relationship, I think. And so he came into my life just as a friend. And little by little, you know, I recognized his soul, finally, as someone that I had had other lives with. Right. You know, and he was a starseed as well.
Yeah.
But I was very upfront that I was still trying to finish out, close out this relationship, that I didn't want to be in a relationship,
and
that I needed a friend.
Marriage, just
yes.
Tighten it up, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you saw firsthand what happened. There was just a big push. There was what we call love bombing, you know, that he had been in love with me forever, and and this love that he held for me. And so I entered into a relationship with this person, and it started out being very intense. It was very overwhelming for me.
Right.
Just to have this type of attention, you know, from a man after, you know, just closing out a marriage for so long. He also had 2 children, which was something that was new for me, which, you know, I love kids.
Right.
But again, this was something that was new. And I recognized early on that he had a lot of wounding, you know, and he would talk about this wounding, which is sometimes, you know, a lot of men do not do, but he would talk about some of his pain and trauma from his childhood. And early on, I expressed to him that I was very concerned about his unhealed pain, which is kind of interesting because I was concerned about his unhealed pain, you know, isn't that always the way this works? And so, you know, the 3D world would probably attach a lot of labels to this person and his personality type. I think from a place of compassion, what I would say, what I've learned is that he had a lot of narcissistic wounding,
right.
You know, and that type of wounding from childhood and what I believe he probably brought into him with him also from other lives, you know, it creates a perfect recipe for someone, for the victim to then become the victimizer, you know, the old victim-victimizer game. So I would say for those archetypes, I got a great big case study in what it's like to be involved in a relationship with a human being in a male body who has severe narcissistic wounding, is a master of playing out victim-victimizer, which, of course, by nature, I did the same.
Right.
Because I wasn't always the victim. Sometimes I was the victimizer, you know.
Isn't it interesting how when you're in a relationship where there are certain dynamics, how the roles will change, you know, when there, it's not congruent or there's distortions there.
Yeah, it does. And so what other type of archetypes can we talk about? Well, we can talk about hero-savior. I think we both ran that complex, you know. He thought he knew best. He thought he was going to save me from whatever, myself, probably.
Okay.
And, of course, I thought that I could, not as dramatic, I thought that I could just love him. Women out there, God, don't we do that? If I could just love you enough, if I could just love you back to wholeness, you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
Silly little creatures that we are. Goodness gracious.
And don't we know that it's truly, we can only, the only thing we know is to, is that we can only change ourselves.
Can only change ourselves. But I didn't know that at the time. And so the relationship became very, it was just very intense. I mean, the emotional highs, which I could connect to this person on, you know, the love was real for me. I can only speak for me.
Right.
You know, when he wasn't in that dark place, he was a beautiful human being, beautiful soul, a beautiful spirit, humanitarian at heart. But when the dark would come in, it was so dark.
Right.
It was so dark. And, you know, when you're with someone, when you give your consent to be in a relationship with someone, you become in consent with those frequencies.
That's right.
And that pulled my frequency down. That pulled me down into my own pain, my own unhealed pain.
I know.
And so for me, when I told you that when I got out of the relationship, I was able to stop looking at what was he doing? What did he do to me? And I started looking at, well, what was I doing? And lo and behold, right there in front of my eyes is He was this big fat mirror for all of my unhealed pain.
Isn't that the truth? Well said. Because I know, watching the dynamics between you two and understanding what that was, I had a pretty good idea because I didn't always see you all the way through it. You know, right. You were over there doing that work.
I had to leave. I had to go.
Just for a little bit.
But I came back.
So, you know, I knew because I would see you so often, you'd pop back in and I could see the pain and the wounding you were carrying. And so it's very hard because when you love somebody and you see your friend suffering, you want to go and you like, I want to help and fix, right? Because that's just how we are. And I had to learn to also step back and just hold a loving space, you know, and supportive, and always keeping Connie in my thoughts because I knew she was walking through some pretty challenging and difficult times with this person. Yeah. But going back to what you were saying, you know, about looking at yourself.
Looking at myself and really understanding, you know, this was where I really, I was aware of the inner misogyny that I had practiced. You know, that's our big buzzword for us, misogyny.
And explain that, because some
people might like, what's that? I don't do, everyone, right. The women out there are going, I don't do that, inner misogyny. I love myself.
Right.
Well, if we really think about what misogyny is, it's the hate of the feminine. It's the hatred of the feminine. And I started hating my feminine side when I was very young. I was molested as a child, and that created a split. It created a lot of pain and confusion for me. And when I went through adolescence and I started developing, I did not want that type of attention, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it started very young,
right.
You know, and how I hated myself. I think, you know, sometimes the inner misogyny could go another way. You know, I didn't date. I wasn't promiscuous or things like that.
Right.
Sometimes it can go the other way and you can get the other side of that.
Right.
But I really had to look at my unhealed pain, because anything that I had shared with this man in confidence or otherwise, boy, he took it and turned it against me, used my own words, my own pain against me. And, you know, for people that are, you know, are saying, oh, my God, you know, that would never happen to me. Or maybe you're saying, oh, my God, I'm right there with you. You know, it's a wake-up call to see, why do you stay in that? What keeps you hooked in?
Right.
And I guess for me, the way I make sense of it is, my soul needed to learn this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I didn't have to learn it in such a harsh, painful way.
Yeah.
But, boy, right. Did I learn it.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? How do you heal that wounded feminine within you, as well as the wounded masculine, because, you know, we're both.
Right.
And I really credit him with being that mirror, because I've spent the past year dedicating myself to healing and to trying to understand this part of myself and knowing that, you know, this is not something that you just do a meditation and boom, it's healed. This is your life work, you know. This is
well said.
It's still there.
I think too, and thank you for sharing that, because I think that's going to help a lot of people, a lot of women, you know, hearing this. But, you know, it brings us back to what we were saying earlier. Is, you know, this whole ascension, spiritual awakening, starseed, twin flame. Okay, all of these.
That's a trigger word for me.
Okay. I mean, yes, it is all real, okay, but the reality is, and the basis of understanding who we are as a spiritual being comes through very deep introspective work, having the strength and the faith to walk through these experiences, as Connie did with this particular relationship, because it was intense. But to come out the other side of this,
you know, with all the love bombing, all the synchronicities, the heart, everybody's whirling and twirling and dancing and jumping for joy because you just met. You know, maybe have a little bit of that love, that like a little interference going on there, you know, yep. As we know from the
little love bite.
From the alien love bite scenario thing going on. And if you don't know that work, you can look at Eve Lorgan's work. But clearly there was levels of interference multidimensionally here too. But I mean, don't you agree, this whole twin flame thing and whatever word you want to use for it can trap a lot of people.
It is, and that's another illusion. I mean, because I say it's a trigger word for me, and please, I try not to go into judgment because, you know, a lot of us feel lonely. Of course, a lot of us want to be in loving partnerships. But if you look around and you're honest, for your audience that's listening, how many can you name in your life? Who is an example for you? Do you have one? Do you know what one looks like? How would you know if one showed up? You know, these were questions I had to look at,
right.
You know, and I had to stop looking outside of myself. You know, I might not know what one was, but through the process of elimination, I could definitely tell you what one wasn't, you know, right? It's not that, it's not that, it's not that.
Right.
And I think, you know, in this ascension, in the astral glam of, you know, your twin flame and soulmate, I mean, you know, I don't like those words. They're triggering for me because
right.
it's, I don't want to, I'm going to be bold and just say what I feel. What I feel is just stop looking for that. Be your own soulmate. Be your own twin flame first. Because if you can't hold it within yourself,
right.
I mean, I couldn't hold myself for this person. You know, I couldn't hold steady within because I wasn't strong enough.
Right.
Because I had all this unhealed pain. He came in and just anything that I thought was healing ripped the scab right off and said, oh, no, no, no. Oh, you thought you had healed that? No, let's take another look. Let's really do a deep dive.
Right.
And so I had to get really strong about who I am. I had to deeply try to understand who I am. On an intimate level. And you know, when we set out to do that work, Terry, as you know, we don't always like what we see.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, I didn't like some of the things I saw about myself. But
I understand.
You,
yeah.
But you go into it and you're kind to yourself and you say, okay.
Well, you look at the programs, right? You
right.
look at the programs that we're running, and where did we learn them from? What role model, like you said, what role model do you have just in being an authentic human being on planet Earth, and then being in a loving, nurturing relationship with a partnership? I mean, we don't even really know what that looks like. I think we ultimately know what it feels, because when it doesn't feel good, we know
we
that.
We know that, sure.
But we don't know how to create that, and that again goes a lot back into the archetypes. And this is a big part of spiritual work and ascension, is healing the male, female, the masculine, feminine wounding within ourselves, which then reflects out into the world. I mean, this is really why we're here. So I mean, it's just not all love, light, glam, astral bliss and romance.
No.
It just isn't. I can say that in watching you you know, walk through, we make light of this too. We call it her case study.
My case study.
Her case study in walking through that. I mean, who were you before that relationship? And who are you now?
Who
after?
Was I before? When I look back.
And this is with all the spiritual work.
This
and
is
just
with
awakening and you're, you know.
Sure.
Right.
Because I think what I will tell you is, and as crazy as this sounds, as painful as that relationship was, I hold such gratitude for it today because
yeah.
of who I know that I am today. Instead of telling you who I was, I'm going to tell you who I am today.
Yeah.
I'm someone, I know who I am. I know what's in my heart. And I know what I serve, and I serve God. You know, when you tell someone, when you're not a religious person, and you tell someone that you serve God first and foremost,
right.
and it infuriates them,
right.
or if they're confused and threatened by it, it's probably a red flag.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I serve God. I am here to be the best human being that I can be in this lifetime.
Yes.
I'm here to pull in as much love in my heart and carry as much love in my heart and share it back out into the world, into the earth, and into her kingdoms. I may fail at that every day. I may fail minute by minute, but in that minute, you can turn it around and say, oops, let me start over. Let me get back up. Let me try this again.
That's right.
We forget that.
That's right.
Because no one tells us that we can do that.
That's right. Every day is a day to start over. Every day is a new day.
I won't let someone tell me what I believe. I won't let someone tell me what my truth is. I know my truth.
There you go.
I won't let someone gaslight me and tell me I didn't see something, I didn't experience something.
Right.
And that's priceless.
Sure is.
Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know what you serve in this world of illusion and inversion, wow. So it's hard, slippery slope.
It's slippery slope. That is just... I love you, Connie. That's great. You earned it. I earned it every step of the way.
The other thing I want to say for people that are in relationships, and this is whether, you know, you're in a romantic relationship, if it's a friendship, whatever it is, just remember that these people that we're playing these programs or whatever out with, just remember that they can only reflect back what we show them. There are mirrors. They're not reflecting anything back that we don't show them. And so it could be, are you showing them something that's false about yourself and that's what they're mirroring back? Are you showing them the truth of who you are? And that's only something each individual can really kind of dig in.
Right.
The other thing I want to say is I looked at why did I want to know these people and share myself so deeply, you know.
Right.
And what I came away with is that I so much wanted to believe that I could intimately know another human being because I intimately wanted to be known. I wanted someone to be able to look at me,
right,
as you did earlier,
right,
and say, Connie, I see you. I see your light. I see your joy.
Yeah.
Yes, I see your spark.
Yeah.
And I tried to show that. I walked away with going, you know, when you walk away from a series of relationships where you feel like you don't know the other person, you know, you really kind of have to take some time. Of course you did know them. There were things,
sure,
and there were red flags.
Right.
But the big takeaway for me was that, you know, the only person you can truly ever know on that level, that deep, intimate level, is yourself.
That's right.
Know yourself deeply and intimately.
That's right.
And so that's what I've been doing, trying to get to know myself.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm sorry you had to go through so much pain. There is a saying, you know, no pain, no gain.
No gain.
I'm just sorry you had to go through all of that pain and heartache. But watching you, again, over this last year, healing and rising up from that and making the changes and adjusting your life in such a way and holding yourself in such a beautiful way where you're even just growing and changing and more authentic and watching you build your strength and the character and the virtues and your connection to source and your spiritual light. It's amazing to be part of because it's, again, you know, like I say, for me, it's I learn and, you're my hero. My Shiro.
My Shiro.
I love you, Connie.
Terry.
I mean, really,
it's, you know, it's the path.
You.
You know, a lot of people don't walk this path. And a lot of people can't, you know, for whatever the reason, you know, it's not their soul's choice maybe in this lifetime.
Right.
It's not their soul's path
there's
right
levels,
now.
There's levels, right.
There's
I mean,
levels.
Really, there's levels to which and way we are working to heal the shadow selves. And,
absolutely.
And to heal the pieces and parts of ourselves through the masculine and feminine wounding and then all the archetypal patterns we run, victim, victimizer. Shame is a big one, too.
Shame, the
know?
Shame cloud. Don't we know it? Man,
another,
that one can keep you down, can it?
Right. I mean, that's another one. And again, you go, how can that be? Because we're these amazing multidimensional spiritual beings living in a body that is a technology out in the middle of space in a sphere we call planet Earth. We are so magnificent, and yet
we can't remember any of it.
We can't. We forget, you know, because we're all here. And
in the program, divide and conquer, stock market, retirement, kids, where you're going to college, all these illusions that are
separating us from
the truth of what we are.
Of what we are. And how I really do feel is once we can look at this and overcome the fear, because isn't it really about overcoming the fears of looking? And it's fear programming, and you can move through it. You can make changes. I mean, I've watched you move. I've watched you, you know, off you go. I mean, it's overcoming the fears that stop us from wanting to really know who we are. Yeah. And, of course, we don't get much, you know, help out in
from
the
we get no help from the outside. No.
Yeah, because that's all live in denial and don't look at your pain and everything's right. wonderful. So, you know, you have so many people today with addictions and
So much pain.
And what we're really talking about through the ascension cycle and this awakening cycle is really being able to sift through that. And when you do that, that opens you up to see more of who you really are, mm-hmm. more of what you're really capable of doing. You can pull more soul light in these higher frequencies right. through God's source. You look at the world in a different way, what they say of it, but not in it. So yep. you can start to really see all the deceptions out there and the systems of control, and that's really why we're here. And in watching Connie, it seems that her part of her path was really working through relationships to understand really and to heal the feminine and the masculine within herself. Mm-hmm. So just beautiful, Connie. And I'm just, you know, sitting here, I think, wow. Amazing journey,
and much more of the story. You know, we all have our story. We all have so many stories. But
well, you know, I am wondering if you could share some final words of wisdom for others that are going to listen to this, wherever they are in their spiritual journey. Because again, no value difference.
No
right?
value
We're
difference.
All just holding space and giving each other permission to say, hey, I hurt.
Yes.
I'm sad. Okay, I need to look at things in a different way so I can move forward and heal, right? Because I want to have this bigger perception of who I am. I want to understand the grandness, the magnificence of my soul.
Right.
Right?
What would I say? I would say, first and foremost, be kind to yourself. You know, we're talking about loving ourselves. We don't really know what that is. We're trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. Love yourself. Be kind to yourself. You know, I think for anybody that's ever worked a 12-step program, you know, there's the 12th step where you take your message, you know, if it's AA, to the recovering alcoholic. I think what that means is, you know, really when you're hurting, reach out to someone else. And that's being service to others, you know, get out of service to self. Think about what it is to care about someone else.
Right.
You know, it's the best, kindest thing you can do for yourself and for the planet. And having gratitude, you know, for the small things. You know, I tell people all the time, I wake up in the morning and I sit outside on my patio and I drink my coffee or right now I'm drinking tea because I'm doing a coffee detox, but I'm still got a lot of gratitude for my tea. And just to be present, to think about how wonderful that cup of tea is, and to see the birds, and to thank God for Mother and her kingdom. Yeah. You know, find that gratitude, find your joy.
Right.
Because if you're looking in the external, it's very short-lived, you know,
it's
in the material,
yes.
in the money, and in the false relationships, you're going to be disappointed.
The greatest relationship you will ever have is with yourself,
as
we've said, and building and strengthening that relationship to God's source. And, you know, I know that you use tools and techniques, as I do. So I think, you know, just as a, like I said, gratitude. Keep a gratitude journal every day for everything you're grateful for, right?
And little things
like that you can just sit and be with yourself to acknowledge. So important to shift your perception and kind of bring you back to balance.
We were talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about shifting the dial, that it's really funny because we're all running our programs. I'm running my program right here, and you know, if my program is saying my life is miserable, I'm unhappy, oh, I'm a victim, this has happened, but what if you just turn the dial a little bit and you learn to take more responsibility for your own joy, and you can just shift it a little bit? Well, it's very empowering. It's also the truth of who you are. You are in control of your happiness. We don't know that. And a lot of people don't want to know that because they don't want to take responsibility.
Because most people's happiness is based on somebody else's.
Yep. Belief system, money, paradigm, you name it, whatever it is, it's outside of themselves.
Right. And everything that we're talking about through ascension and spiritual awakening is
about being within.
Is being within. So that is just beautifully said. I love that. I know that also being and having a consistent meditation practice.
Yes.
I think is essential, right?
It has been instrumental for me. It doesn't matter where you are with that, but having a meditation practice, having some sort of daily intention. You know, I set a daily intention, and I make my prayers. And someone asked me the other day, they said, why do you say you make prayers? You don't say prayers, you make prayers. And I kind of giggled to myself. I said, because I'm co-creating something.
That's fantastic.
They're not just words. And I was trying to explain, I am creating something when I make my prayers. So make your prayers in the morning. Set your day. What is this day going to be about for you? Ask your God self. Ask God, please help me.
That's beautiful.
Pray for people that don't know how to pray. I can't tell you how to pray. You have to figure that one out, I guess, for yourself. But open up your heart. Be open to ask and be open to receive. You know.
Yes.
Meditation, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and what does that look like? I mean, meditation could be, yes, laying on the floor and clearing your mind. Meditation could be walking in nature. That's a big part of meditation for me.
Same here.
Time with your animals. Whatever it is that makes you calm, still, and connected to your God spark.
That's it.
That's what it is.
You know, and these tools to apply, and no matter what we're going through with chaos and the deep pain, you know, from the changes and the illusion of separation, right? Because I think that's a big one too, is the illusion of separation from source. I mean, this is not an easy planet to be on, and it is the brave hearts and the brave souls that want to come here to a planet that's essentially like a prison. You know, a frequency fence of lies and deceptions. But hey, that's how powerful love is, and that's why those of us who, whether you call us indigo, starseed, light workers, path pavers, grid workers, or just people who want to serve, you know, the earth and or just want to be with kindness and love, you know, we are the ones that are doing this deeper work. We're the ones that are questioning and looking deep within ourselves to find that inner spark. And when you find it, and I know Connie and I talk about it, there are days just where there's so much joy and there's so much gratitude moving through.
Oh my God.
You know, that you just like.
Just love. Just pure love. Love.
Mm-hmm. And then there are days where you hit another high note. I say, I don't call them low notes. I call them a high note where you go, oh, I hurt a little bit today. I'm processing something here or there. And, you know, some other wound or pain is coming up, or an outdated belief system or a wrong conclusion that I've had, or a judgment of self or others.
Sure.
You know, we're able to just kind of sit back and look and process some journaling even about what's coming up.
Yep.
In your own thought process, and is that thought your own, right?
And what does it mean to have that thought?
That's right.
What would it mean if you changed that thought? Can you change that thought? Why are you holding on to that thought?
That's right.
Is it serving you, or is this thought causing you pain?
That's right.
You know, really, look at these things.
Yeah.
You know?
We have so much power. And these are simple tools, but these simple tools are powerful because it's how you apply them each day.
that you begin to make new distinctions. You move through the perception deception. You start to go to your heart, to the inner spark, and reconnect to the
Source. That I think so hard, Terry, is if you're on this path and you don't, you know, if you don't have someone, it's very isolating, because when you talk about these things to just like a 3D person, they're going to think you're insane. And so that automatically, without support, makes you, it's so easy to turn away from it. And many of us do, and have to come back and stick our toes in, or whatever it is, to try to get back. I think if you're someone that maybe some of this makes sense, but it's just extremely overwhelming, or you find yourself in a situation where you think you could never leave your situation, or whatever that you think might be required of you, what I would say is there's always more room for loving kindness.
Absolutely.
Can you just find a way to be a little bit kinder to yourself, to your partner, to your friends, to your family, to your coworker? Can you find a way, especially, to be kind to the person that you think is undeserving of kindness?
Absolutely.
And that's where you can start.
You know, and it goes really right back to neutral observation. Can we be neutral in the face of chaos and change and pain, and hold a space where we can witness ourselves primarily,
right,
and be accountable for whatever it is that's going on within ourselves.
Right.
We can't change anybody else, but we have the power to apply these tools to change ourselves. So, gosh, Connie, this was great, wasn't it?
It was great, Terry.
It was
so much fun.
And I sure know we're going to be able to help a lot of people who listen to this. And I thank you so much for sharing your life, your story. I'm so grateful you're on the other side of it.
Me too.
I love you so much. I'm so...
Thank you, beloved God, and our guardian teams.
Oh, thank you.
For walking with us.
You know. Well, is there anything else you want to say, Connie? Anything else before we close? Because
no.
We're at that hour mark. That went fast.
Yeah, it did. No, thank you for having me, and I love you so much. It's been a pleasure to share my story, and I just love you, Terry.
Love you too, Connie. So, well, I think that's it then. If anybody has any questions for Connie, you can certainly reach out to me through my website, vibrationsofthesoul.com. I'm sure she'll be happy to
share any part of my story that anyone might be interested in, of course.
Right. and other than that, I really just, again, thank you, Connie. Appreciate this time so much. And I thank everyone for listening, and I'm sending everybody many blessings and lots of love. Thank you.